going to bring a message about overcoming from the slums to the king's table. I like to start with something funny. I always hope it's funny. This Sunday school teacher was trying to teach some young boys, kids 7, 8 years old, about heaven. And different things about heaven. And then she said, now, what do we have to do to get to heaven? And one little boy popped up and said, be dead. Try a different version of that. This preacher was preaching about heaven, and he turned around and he asked everybody, he says, now, how many of you want to go to heaven? Everybody, of course, raised their hand, except one man down in the front row. And I'll go over here and point that way. And so he asked again. The guy stood and raised his hand. And he said, don't you want to go to heaven? He says, yeah, but preacher, it sounded to me like you were getting the crowd ready to go this afternoon. Yeah, we all want to go to heaven. We just don't want to do it today. You have your Bibles turned to 1 Samuel, or 2 Samuel, rather. 2 Samuel, the Old Testament, chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house together. Thank you for the great music and the hard work that the praise team put together, the ladies that playing the music. We thank you for them. And then, Lord, we just ask now that as we share your word, that your Holy Spirit will speak to hearts. It doesn't matter what I say. It matters what you speak to people about through your Holy Spirit. We just ask you now to work in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As Susan was sort of telling the story, it starts out in 2 Samuel chapter 4 about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. We're going to get it. I got to say the word because you kept saying it. If you can say it, I can't. You guys are going to elect her to preach, by the way. Good. Mephibosheth, it says in verse 4, Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. Now, that was the news that both of them had been killed in battle, the king and the king's son. Now, this was the king's grandson. And his nurse, in other words, the person who took care of Mephibosheth, took him up and fled. And it happened, as he made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. Both of his legs were broken, and his name was Mephibosheth. Now, a couple things we see here. Mephibosheth, at 5 years old, was taken, and we will see later that he was taken to town and called Lombar. Where he was taken was a very poor area. And basically, he was a broken man. He was living in poverty, and he was completely dependent on others. I think one of the fears that many of us who are a little further along in life, that's a polite way of saying we're getting old, and I know you guys don't think you're going to get there, but we will. Actually, it's better to get there than it is not get there. But none of us want to be dependent on others. We don't want others to have to take care of us. Now, we may get to that point in life, and it may be what the Lord has for us. But the point is, Mephibosheth, he was lame, and he could easily claim. He was the son of Jonathan, and Jonathan, David's best friend. And David and Jonathan were very, very close, very tight-knit. And he was the grandson of Saul. In other words, he was born into royalty. And he knew that. He knew his grandfather was the king. But then he went from being born into royalty to living in poverty. And he could easily claim and make the claim that life isn't fair. Now, many of us have said that at one point or another, that life's not fair. And then the next step that some people take is turn around and say, God isn't fair. Why did he let this happen to me? And Mephibosheth could very easily have taken that position in life. But if you turn over to chapter 9, we see now that in verse 1 of chapter 9 of 2 Samuel, now David said, is there someone, anyone who is left of the household of Saul? Now bear in mind, David had been king for quite a few years. My guess is at least 20-25 years that he had been king. And he said, anybody left of the household of Saul, that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake. Jonathan had probably been dead for 20-25 years, but King David still had an affection. And I do believe that we should remember those who have been a blessing to us in the past, and we should honor them. And David wanted to honor him and by seeing if he had any relatives. Now, there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and when they had called him to David, the king said, are you Ziba? And he said, at your service. Then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul for whom I may show kindness, show the kindness of God? Show the kindness of God. And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. Can't walk. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Bakar, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Lodabar. Now that's way on the edge of Israel, near the desert. No greenery, not a very good place to be. Then King David sent and brought him into the house of Mahar, the son of from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth, he said, what are you doing? And he answered, here is your servant. Now, use your imagination a little bit. It was normal when a king took over to make sure anybody who could ever threaten him being king was eliminated. Nice word for kill. And they didn't want him around. And that was a normal thing to do in that time. Unfortunately, some countries it's still a normal thing to do. But the point is, he was fearful that he had been found for the purpose of being killed. So David said, and look at this, do not fear. Do not fear. And you know, our folks have heard me talk about this a long time, a lot of times. One of my favorite verses in the scriptures, 1 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if we live in fear, we are not living in faith. If we live in fear, we're not really trusting God. And so, you know, often in Scripture we see God has to tell people, fear not, when the angel came to Mary, when all these different things. But David told Mephibosheth, don't fear, for I will show you kindness. He thought he was going to show him death. But he said, I'll show you kindness to restore you to all the land that's of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall be at my table continually. And then, and this is the interesting thing, when King, he fell on his face, prostrated him, he was fearful. And David assured him that he would not be harmed. He wouldn't be harmed. But Mephibosheth had a terrible self-image. And look at that next verse. He said, then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant, or who am I, that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? Mephibosheth thought himself of having as much value as a dead dog. Folks, I'm here to tell you, everyone sitting in this room is a child of Almighty God.
Amen.
You're very special to God.
Right.
God wants you, and as I shared with the folks yesterday, and you've heard me share this recently, He wants to bless you indeed. He wants to be with you. And as the song, you did a great job on the songs today because it really was inspiring. He's going to keep you. You don't have to be a failure face. And nobody's a dead dog. That's why, you know, I really, really appreciate the way Oxford House, and even in one of their sessions yesterday, you know, sometimes they have to use tough love because you can't use and be in an Oxford House.
That's right.
And they have to vote, and they'll have to put a person out. But they do it with love.
Amen.
And that was what we talked about, Thomas talked about yesterday. We, you know, we don't just cast people out. Well, you know, sometimes God has to get our attention. Mm-hmm. There's some of us God had to put a 2x4 over our head.
Amen.
Wake us up.
Right.
I know none of you guys could ever relate to that. just not in your world. But a lot of us who may think we're all right, and God has to say, hey, you ain't all right at all. You're a big hypocrite. You know, And by the way, if you study scripture, Jesus didn't like the hypocrites. He didn't like the Pharisees. Boy, he really had it in for them. And rightfully so. But Mephibosheth, he compared himself to a dead dog. And the one thing we need to realize, that God loves us, Jesus died for us, and he will keep us. He that begins this good work in you, he ain't going to let you go. You may slip away a little bit, but he's going to drag you back. And he's going to get you back. And he's going to help you to keep on keeping on and not be forever in the pits. David restores, and this is the thing that we see. God is in the business of restoration. We may think we don't deserve anything from God. We may think that he'll never be able to help us get out of the pit. But God restores. And David, he restored that. And he said, since he was Saul's servant, he says, I have given to your master's son. See, in other words, this Ziba used to be Jonathan's servant. And he stayed in the king's family and so forth. And by the way, you see down there with, they had 20 kids. They really had a lot of kids, but they were all servants of the king. And I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to his house. You, therefore, and your sons, your servants, shall work the land for him, and he shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your servant's son, shall eat bread at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. By the way, if you had 15 sons, chances are there were some daughters in there too. You know, that's a lot of kids, by the way. But Ziba, and so what happened? David restored to Mephibosheth the lands, the vineyards, the properties, and he went from living in abject poverty to living at the king's table. And you know, that's what God wants to do for each of us. See, he wants us to sit in the presence of Jesus. He wants us to be restored, and we just have to accept his restoration. We have to accept the work that he wants to do and say, okay, God, I'm going to take you at your word, and accept Christ, and then decide to live for Christ. And when we mess up, and we do, and I don't believe any of us go through a day without some sin. And what does he say? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Well, you say, well, Brother Kelsey, I didn't hit anybody today. Yeah, but see, sin can be attitude. If you tell me you got through a day without having a bad thought, without thinking something about somebody you shouldn't have, and you know, it just not the way it really is. And there are times when we say things wrong, do things wrong, and we need to confess them. But see, God is in the business of restoration. And he gave Mephibosheth a place at the king's table. That's a place of great honor. And you know what really thrills me when I think about the fact, when we become born again, when we accept Christ as our Savior, we are going to have a place at the table. going to be with Jesus someday and be at his table. And then he gave him his servants. In other words, you know, he was always dependent on just people being nice and trying to help him. But now he had his own servants to take care of him. And God blessed him. And then he gave him an inheritance from King Saul. In other words, the inheritance that normally would have passed down through the generations, David gave to him. God wants to take each of us from a place of despair to a place at the table. And think about that. Think about that. And it's a work that God does in each of our lives.
Amen.
And he uses people. See, when I talk to Oxford House folks, I've always said, you know what? You guys are in the business of saving lives. Saving people's lives. And that's literally true. Because what's one of the greatest problems that we're facing in our country today is the abuse of drugs and opioids in particular, and the number of people who lost their lives. My own sister lost her grandson just a few months ago, our folks know, and to an overdose. And when you're helping people who are in despair, when you're sharing the gospel to the people without hope, when you're lifting others up with a word of encouragement, you are giving them the opportunity to sit at the King's table. And that's what God wants for each one of us. And that's what we need to be sharing with other people as we work and strive to lift people up for Jesus. Because I'll tell you, folks, there's a lot of hurt folks right here in our neighborhood. There's a lot of hurt folks where every one of you live. And sometimes they just need a good word of encouragement. You know, you can make it through today. Because you know what? The Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Do you know what day each of us can live? Today. And we need to live it to the fullest for the glory of God. We can't do a whole lot about the past. And we may have to fix things up a little bit with a few folks. But basically the past is past. But we can live for today so that we can have a better and greater tomorrow. We can sit at the King's table. And Mephibosheth went from what he considered to be no more than a dead dog to be the honored guest at King David's table every day. Every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for